Acts chapter number 18, look at verse number 24, and thank you, preacher, for the privilege to preach. Usually you're not here when I preach, so I don't get to thank you, but I appreciate you letting me preach. So Acts chapter 18, verse number 24, the Bible says this, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he spake, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." So the title of the message this evening, it's in verse number 24. The title is Mighty in the Scriptures, all right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be here at church tonight. Lord, again, thank you for our pastor and his leadership. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service now. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit power. God, help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Help me to say exactly what needs to be said tonight. And I pray that you do a work in my heart. I pray you do a work in every teenager heart, a teenager's heart that is here tonight. I pray that they would listen on purpose, Lord. I pray that this wouldn't be another service, but Lord, I pray that this service they would listen, and I pray every service they would listen, because every service could be the last chance we have to get right with you. I pray, Lord, that you bless this time. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Teenagers, we would all agree, and adults, we would all agree that God has been good to us. And I hope teenager, you realize that as you get older, I hope you get past the point of, you know, life's not fair. I didn't get to go play with my friend. I didn't get to go hang out. I didn't get to spend the night. Hope you grow past that and realize, man, no matter what my circumstances are, God is good to me. And the Bible says he's daily loadeth us with benefits, and we can't begin to thank God fully for all that he's done for us. Now, if we were to make a list, teenagers, if every one of you had a piece of paper and a pen, and I had a paper and a pen, and we all started writing, making a list of all the precious things, and by things I mean physical object, all the precious things that God has given us in this life, number one should not be your favorite video game. Number one ought not be your favorite sport that you play. Number one, girls shouldn't be the makeup, your favorite makeup that you wear, or the favorite dress that you have. It shouldn't be our favorite hobby that's on that list. We may have a long list of precious belongings because God has been so good to us, but the number one item on that list ought to be, without question, our Bible. And teenager, I hope that you consider your Bible the most precious possession that you have, because that's exactly what it is. It's not only is it a wonder that God would even give us, would even communicate with us in any form or fashion, but it's amazing to think of how God gave us His Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible tells us that all Scripture, every single verse, every single word is given by God. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, how did God give His Word? Did He take a certain time in history to sit down and write everything and then give it to somebody so they can copy it? That's not how God did it. It's even more amazing if you think about it. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old by the will, in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So prophecy, the scripture, the word of God came because God moved holy men, and he told them exactly what to pin down on the words of God. And it wasn't just one person who wrote all the books of the Bible. The books of the Bible are compiled of many different writers and not authors, because God is the author, but God used many different people to write His Word. And if you think about it, if we got 40 different teenagers or adults or whatever, and we all wrote something, what we believed, we'd all have different opinions of what we believe. And it would all be different, and it would all contradict. But the thing is, with the Bible, you have all those authors, and not a single word contradicts itself. Not a single word goes against the other person. It all goes together, and it's perfect. And it's amazing to think the book that God gave us. And you know, the Bible is our most precious possession. And think about this, teenagers. I don't know how much history you know about the Word of God, but the thing is, I doubt you and I have anything in our life outside of the Bible that someone died for. But the thing is, throughout history, people have shed their blood for this book that we have. Throughout history, people have been burned at the stake because of this book. And I don't know when it comes to how you can die, other than crucifixion, I would say burning alive would be the worst way to die. I mean, I can't think of any other worse way to die, again, outside of crucifixion. The thing is, people died that kind of death because of the Word of God. And that's the precious book that we have. And nothing is more precious in our life, because there's nothing, more than likely, there's nothing that we have that someone has died for. But many people have died for the Word of God. Now, a teenager, I want to tell you this. And I want us all to know, what is it about God's Word that makes it so special, okay? This is all just introduction. But teenager, what is it about God's Word that makes it so special? Grab your Bibles, teenager. I want you to use them. Turn to Psalms chapter 119. Alright? Stay attentive. Keep your Bible by your side. And make sure you turn to these scriptures if you know where they're at. If you don't, maybe look on with somebody if you're sitting next to somebody. Why is God's Word so special? Well, it's special because God's Word is eternal. It's forever. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 89, look at it. Psalms 119 verse 89, the Bible says this. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hey, there's nothing in this life that will last forever except for the very words of God. That is something that we have in our possession that's going to be around from generation to generation and forever throughout. Whenever God comes back and sets up his kingdom and then the 1,000 years are done and time is no more, God's word is still going to be there. And it's forever. It never ends. Our friends, teenagers, they're not going to last forever. The friends that you have now, they probably won't be the same friends, same close friends that you might have 10, 15 years from now. That's probably going to change. Hey, listen, the success that you have, is that success doesn't last forever. Whenever you have some type of success in something, then at that point you have to move on and be successful in something else. That success doesn't last forever. The rewards of that success doesn't last forever. Hey, the play and the fun that we have, that won't last forever. Hey, I hope you would say amen to this, but hey, your school won't last forever. That's going to eventually change. Our family as we know it right now, unfortunately, won't last forever. And thank God, you ought to be grateful. I ought to be grateful for the family that we have, because one day it will be different. One day it's going to change. And that may change simply by marriage and moving away, but also at some point will change through death. And death is a part of life. And so our family won't last forever. But you know what will last forever is God's Word. It'll never end. Everything we know may change, it may pass away, but the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And why else is God's Word so special? It's eternal, but also the Bible says it's infallible. That word infallible means not capable of erring, meaning God's Word is incapable of being wrong. It's incapable of having any kind of error about it. You're in Psalms, flip over to verse 128. Psalms 119, look at verse 128. God's Word is a perfect book. And to say that God's Word is infallible basically is to say God's Word is perfect. There's no error, and it's not capable of producing any kind of error. Psalms 119 and verse 128, the Bible says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Hey, guess what? God's Word is right. It's always right. And no matter how much this world changes, and even though the sin of homosexuality was not accepted several years back, even by the world, but now it is accepted. But even though that's changed and the world accepts it today, God still says it's an abomination. It doesn't change. God's Word is always right. And it's infallible. It's perfect. And it's not going to get to the point where we say, well, you know, God said it, and at the time it was right, but now it's not right anymore because things have changed. That's not how it works. God's Word never changes, and God always expects us to follow His book. The Bible says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. And guess what? This is the work of God. God gave us His book, and He worked to give us this book, and His work is perfect. You can search. One thing my wife and I do sometimes if we're watching the show is if we see a movie and we see some kind of mistake, maybe someone had a bloody eye in this scene and the very next scene is gone. It's like, what in the world happened there? You know, we'll like to point that out, like, hey, they messed up there. They missed that. And you know what? We can point out a lot of mistakes in people and shows. We can read a book and find typos and errors. And somebody said this here, but then here they said that. And I mean, we can find mistake after mistake in all kinds of different man-made objects and man-made books or whatever it may be, but we'll never find an error in God's Word. The Bible says God, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Hey, why else is God's Word so special? It's eternal, teenager. Hey, teenager, it's infallible. It's perfect. You can count on the Word of God, but also God's Word is wonderful. Look at Psalms 138. Flip over there. Psalms chapter 138. Okay, God's Word is a wonderful book. It says in Psalms 119 and verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." So God says about His Word that they're wonderful. Just how wonderful, though? How wonderful is God's Word? Psalms 138, teenager, look at verse number 2, okay? Look at it closely. It says, "I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name." And teenager, if I were to ask you what's the most powerful name in all the world, in all of existence, I would assume you would say Jesus Christ or God or Jehovah, something like that. And that is true. But the Bible says that God magnifies His Word above His name. That's how wonderful of a book that we have in our hands. It's greater than the name of God. Hey, nothing has the right to be elevated or even equal to God's name except for His wonderful Word. Now, there's not one possession that we have that is eternal, that is incapable of being wrong, and more wonderful than the name of God except for the Bible that we have in our hands. And teenager, I hope you'll grasp that. I hope you realize that this book isn't just some book that we pass down because it's a tradition that we want to follow because that's what our fathers did. This book is the very words of God, and it's special, and we ought to treat it that way. And although we all agree that our Bible is, and I'm sure all of you teenagers would agree that the Bible is everything that it says it is, and although we may agree that it's our most valuable possession, I believe many of us don't treat it that way. And on our bus route, oftentimes I'll tell some of the bus riders we might be doing a Bible story, and maybe we're trying to give them a lesson to learn. And sometimes I might say something like, "All right, guys, so is it right or wrong to skip church?" And they'll all say it's wrong. That's bad. They know it's not right to skip church. Or maybe I'll say something like, "Hey, if your buddy says, 'Hey, come over on Sunday and play games with me and hang out,' but you know you're supposed to be at church, what should we do, guys? Should we go to church or should we go to our friends?" And usually they'll all say, sometimes you have a smart aleck, but usually they'll all say, "Go to church." They know and they believe that church is important. They know and they believe that they ought to be faithful. But the struggle and the battle is on the bus ministry is getting the kids to live that. And although they might believe that, many of the writers don't come faithfully like they should. And pray for them. Pray that they'll be faithful. But the reason I say that is because, teenager, you might believe, I might believe that the Word of God is precious and wonderful and eternal and infallible. I might believe that, you might believe that, but do we treat it that way? Are we using our Bible in such a way that, hey, I believe that God's Word is all it says to be? In our text, go back to Acts chapter number 18. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 18. All right, we read it. Didn't say anything else about it, but now we're going to look at it. Acts chapter number 18. In our text, we read of a man that not only believed the Word of God was his most valuable possession, but he treated it that way as well. And we know that because it says in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 24, it says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." The Bible says that Apollos was mighty in the scriptures. That word mighty, it means very strong. It means valiant. It means bold. It means very forcible. It means very effective. So that means that Apollos, he was very strong in the Word of God. He was bold with the Word of God, and he was effectively using it in his Christian life. Well, and we're going to learn about what that means. The Bible wasn't just some huge book that Apollos believed in, but knew very little about. The Bible says he was mighty in the scriptures. And not only was he mighty, but he hungered to learn more. And you know what? Someone who's going to be mighty in the Word of God is not going to be a know-it-all. We never get that point. We just know it all. Because look at it in verse number 25. The Bible already says that he's mighty in the scriptures. And that speaks a lot. But then in verse 25, all right, let's look at verse 26. It says, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So not only was Apollos mighty in the Bible, but he was hungering to learn more, and Aquila and Priscilla learned, taught him, and he learned more, and he increased in his might of the Word of God. Hey, many Christians today and many teenagers today are mighty in many things except for their Bible. Hey, if you ask a teenager, that many teenagers can tell you every level in a video game that they play and all of its secrets. They can tell you, there's this thing that I know you teenagers will know what I'm talking about called Easter eggs, and you can find these interesting things that, about a game that's hidden in the game that no one else knows about. You have to find it. And some of you teenagers know all about that stuff and know every ins and out of a video game, but you don't know much about your Bible. Many teenagers can tell you every position in football and what they mean, but they don't know much about the Bible. Hey, there's many teenagers that read a lot of books and they could tell you every book and chapter of their favorite book series, but they couldn't tell you about their favorite chapter in the Bible. Hey, every part. There's some teenagers that they can name every part of their car and how it works, but they couldn't name you all the books of the Bible. There may be some teenagers that can tell you every sports team in the professional league, and they can tell you their standings. They can tell you who won the championship this year and who won the championship that year. I mean, they know all these details, and they're very mighty in their knowledge of sports and the professional sports or the college sports, but then they're not very mighty in the Word of God. Hey, many teenagers and adults and any of us, many teenagers can complete every difficulty level in a video game. You know how video games will have easy and they'll have normal, they'll have hard, they'll have super hard, whatever it is. And there's teenagers that, man, I can do them all. I completed it all. And they'll master that game, but they won't master their Bible. Hey, many teenagers can shatter every record in their sports team, but they're not doing much in the words of God. Hey, many teenagers can read many books all throughout the week. They have the ability to read and read and read, but they don't read and read and read the Word of God. Hey, many teenagers can make the coolest posts on YouTube or on social media, or they can learn certain skills really fast and really well. And not that these things are bad, but the thing is, there's too many teenagers that are mighty in all these things, and very few teenagers that are mighty in the Word of God. And I'm talking about Christian teenagers. We don't expect the worldly, the lost teenagers to be mighty in the Bible, but Christian teenagers ought to be. Hey, I wonder how many teens can quote memory verses. How many teenagers right now, if we said, hey, quote as many verses as you can, would it be 30 seconds and you're done, or could you quote several verses? Hey, I wonder how many teenagers could complete a Bible quiz. If you were asked, if you were given a paper of just simple Bible questions, I wonder how many you could fill out. I wonder how many I could fill out. Hey, I wonder how many of us could know how to lead someone to Christ and have that ability to show people the right scriptures and show them how they can be saved. I wonder how many teenagers can give a Bible answer to someone's question or problem that they have. I wonder how many teenagers understand the Bible and try to learn and study the Bible and read their Bible in a year. I wonder how many teenagers have read their Bible all the way through. And I'm asking all these questions because God wants us and He desires us to become mighty in the Scriptures. No matter your age, if you're saved, you can read. God expects you to learn and become mighty. He says this in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. God says, I want you to be rich in the knowledge of the word of God. I want you to have God's word dwelling in you. Hey, let me say this, teenager. We're going to get to some points here in just a second. But you know what, teenager, if we're weak in the Bible as a Christian, there's some things that's not good. If we're weak in the Bible, first of all, we're going to be weak in our understanding of the Bible. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see something. If we know very little about the Bible, then we're going to have a very weak understanding of the Bible and a high chance, teenager, to twist Scripture to believe what you want to believe instead of just believing what God said. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 15, the Bible says this, 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. It's picking up in the middle of a thought, but it's going to talk about the Bible. It says, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And we know Paul wrote a lot of the Bible. So it's talking about the letters that Paul wrote and some of the scripture that Paul wrote. And it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, and that's not a bad thing. We just need to learn and study. But it says this, look at it. Which they that are unlearned and unstable, so thinking someone who's unlearned, I wouldn't consider that person someone who's mighty in the Scriptures. They don't know. Unlearned and unstable rest. That means twist. They twist the scripture to believe what they want to believe, as they do also the other scriptures. So it's not just talking about the epistles that Paul wrote. It's just talking about the Bible, period. People do this unto their own destruction. And teenager, I don't want you to destroy your life. God doesn't want you to destroy your life. I don't want my life to be destroyed because we simply are weak in the scripture and we just don't know. And we wind up twisting the Bible to believe what we want it to, what we want to believe instead of what it actually says. If we're weak in the Bible, teenager, then guess what? We're going to be weak in service. God's not going to use us very much if we know very little of the Bible. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. This is, we're almost done with the introduction. We're going to get to some points, all right? Hebrews chapter 5. I hear the laughing. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible says this, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Hey, teenager, let me ask you a question. When it comes to growing in Christ and growing as a Christian, that does come a time, but also comes with work and effort and trying to grow. A person can be saved for 40 years, but that does not mean they're going to be a mature Christian. But someone could be saved for 2 years and they can become more mature as a Christian than the one who's been saved for 40 years and hasn't grown at all. And because it comes by how much effort we put in trying to learn the Word of God. So teenagers, let me say this. How many of you are teaching by way of example because you're mighty in the Scriptures and you're learning? And it's not that all the things that we teach at church and the things that you read in the Bible, it's not a shock to you because you're not learning. Your parents aren't fighting with you trying to get you to obey what the Bible says. But instead, you're growing as a Christian and you're leading by example because you're learning what the Bible says. And you know what, teenager, hey, all of you ought to desire to one day be a Sunday school teacher. That ought to be a dream of yours, to be able to teach the Word of God. But you know what, teenager, you can't teach the Word of God if you don't know the Bible. If you stay weak in the Bible and know very little, then God can't use you that way because you don't know. Hey, if we remain weak in the Bible, also the Bible says we're going to have weak stomachs. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we know very little of the Bible and we are not mighty in the Scriptures and we're still a babe in Christ, then whenever strong meat is fed to us as a Christian teenager, whenever Miss Audie or I or one of us teach on something in the Bible that's hard to swallow, like dressing modestly staying away from shows that could cause a teenage guy to lust or, you know, different stuff like that. When we hear stuff like that and stuff that's so opposite from what the world believes, it's going to be a little hard to swallow. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul said, hey, I can't feed you the meat of the Word of God. I have to feed you milk. I got to feed you as if you're still a babe, even though you've been saved for a while. That shouldn't be your testimony, teenager. And you can grow in the Lord now as a teenager if you put forth the effort. Hey, how can we become mighty in the Scriptures? How do we get there? How do you get to that point? And we're never going to arrive, but how do we get to that point where someone could consider us, hey, that teenager knows his Bible. That teenager is learning and growing. That teenager loves the Lord. How do you get to that point where you're mighty in the Scriptures? Well, we do it little by little. We go little at a time. The Bible says this, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little." Teenager, you're not going to be preaching or teaching Sunday school and just being right where you need to be as a Christian and have all the spiritual wisdom that a preacher has who's been pastor for 22 years. That's not going to happen in just 1 month just because you want to try to grow. But if you stay faithful to the Word of God and trying to learn little here a little and there a little, guess what? You will grow. Hey, someone who wants to get strong, is there any teenagers that work out? I know there are some at some point, I think, worked out at some point. We know JJ works out. Ethan, didn't you work out at some point in time? A little used to with Daniel. Daniel, are you still working out at all ever? A little bit. So now, if Ethan were to go work out for the first time ever, He's not going to go in there. I mean, he might try. I don't know. But he's not going to go in there and grab the 100-pound dumbbell and start going, That's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to do that. And he's going to start probably with the 1 pound and work his way up, right? But he's going to go little by little. He's got to work his way up. Anybody who tries to work out, they have to start off small. They're not going to go from picking up the heaviest weights that they have there at the gym. They got to start off small. They're going to kill themselves. And you know what? We as Christians have to start off small and grow and take baby steps, right? Christians, teenagers, let me show you one more verse, then we'll get to the point. So I want to show you this because I like the way the Bible words this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is probably way too long of an introduction, but I'm sorry. We'll get into the points, and we're gonna for sure dismiss on time. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse number 11, teenager. So listen, teenager, what I want to say here is God says we have no excuse to grow. And you might say, well, you don't know my home life. You don't know what's going on at home. My parents don't love the Lord like they should. They're not faithful to church, or they're faithful, but they're hypocrites, or they're faithful, but they struggle. And by the way, teenagers, your parents aren't going to be perfect, and we should expect them to be perfect. And they're sinners too. And we ought to have patience and realize that they're going to make mistakes. And just like we make mistakes and they don't kick us out of the house, we shouldn't just ignore their authority in our lives because sometimes they might make mistakes. But the thing is, we don't have an excuse, teenager, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 11, listen to these verses. The Bible says, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. God says, hey, my words and your ability to be able to learn and grow, it's not that I'm going to hide. I'm not going to say, hey, you need to be a good Christian, but good luck figuring it out. I don't know how you're going to do it. That's not what God does. In verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? We don't have to go to preacher and say, hey, preacher, can you go to heaven this week and give me something because I want to grow. That's not how it works. We can learn and grow right here because the Bible's right here in front of us. In verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But it says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And you know what, teenager, if you grew up in church, some of the Word of God ought to be just automatically in your heart because you've heard it throughout your life. And if you just apply it to your life and on purpose try to grow, you can become mighty in the Word of God. All right, so here's the points, all right? Three things, okay? In what ways should we be mighty in the Scriptures, okay? How should we be mighty in the Scriptures, right? Number one, we ought to be mighty in our observance. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to explain what that means. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse number 8. You could probably sing the song. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Right, teenager, God wants us, he says, to observe his words. And that word, observe, it's more than just reading the Bible. It's to see or behold with some attention. God wants us to be attentive to his word. He wants us to get in his book so we can know what it says. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, a lack of faithful reading and observing the Bible will result in a lack of knowledge of God and his word. Hey, the Bible says this, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Hey, I wonder, teenager, if we could reword that and say it like this, and you put yourself, I'll put myself in here. Could we reword that and say there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in your life and in my life? If we were to say that, would that be true? Is it that we don't know much about the Word of God because we haven't been applying ourselves, haven't been faithfully reading the Bible so we can learn and so we can grow? Hey, how much of the Bible do you know? Hey, teenager, if someone were to ask you, hey, what is the Bible? What is the Word of God? Could you tell them anything about the Bible? Hey, are you faithfully reading your Bible every day? Hey, stop and think, teenager. Think about what you and I do on a daily basis. I want you to think about what you do every day. Hey, every day, most of us, or I would say all of us, unless you're fasting, we all eat every day, right? And I don't think any of us go without eating on a particular day. unless we're fasting. Hey, teenager, every day we're going to sleep. That's something we do every day. Teenager, I know this is true because it's true in my life. We use our phones every day. If you have a phone, you may not have a phone. We use some kind of electronic device more than likely, unless you don't have it. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But the thing is, we use that every day. Hey, many teenagers play video games every day. Most of us will watch some kind of television every day. Hopefully we all shower every day. Amen. But hey, let me ask this question. Do we read and observe the Bible every day? Not just when we come to church, not just whenever maybe you have a Christian school curriculum, and the only time you read your Bible shouldn't be whenever there's a verse in your Christian school curriculum throughout the day during school. And if that's the case, then what are you going to do during the summertime? Just have no Bible all week long? Hey, we ought to know the Bible for ourselves. The Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And those in Thessalonica, they were daily searching the scriptures and reading the Bible, observing the Bible, knowing it for themselves. If you're only searching the Bible 3 or 4 times a week, then I would say that you're probably not very mighty in the Bible. If I only read my Bible just a few times a week and I just breeze through it, I'm probably not very mighty in the Bible. Hey, remember, the word observe means to behold with some attention. We're focused on what the Bible's trying to tell us. Hey, teenager, let me ask you this, okay? And adults do this too. We all do this, and we gotta, on purpose, make sure we don't. But let me ask you a question, teenager. Are you breezing through the Bible as fast as you can so you can get back to your video game, or so you can get back to your sports or to your schoolwork, or you name it, whatever it is that you do on a regular basis? Are we just opening the Bible? Okay, I want to make sure I get a lot of points this week for the contest. So, and then I'm done. Let me go back to my video game. If that's the case, then we're not observing the Bible, because we're supposed to observe it with attention. And we're supposed to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm reading the Bible and I want to grow. I want to become mighty in the Bible. I want to know your Word and I want to learn it. And Lord, would you show me and teach me? Hey, teenager, listen to this verse. The Bible says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Hey, you know what, teenager, those of you who might work out, maybe you have a job and you work in the world, some of you go to public school, and maybe some of you go to cousins or different people, and some people at times might reproach you. They might come to you and question you about what you believe. Hey, if they come to you and say, hey, why do you go to church all the time? What's up with that? Are you, if they ask you that, is it just, that's just what we do. I'm not really sure why. Or do you know? Do you know what the Bible says about being faithful to church? Hey, if someone comes to you and they say, hey, why do you not listen to rock music? Hey, every time you come over for Thanksgiving, you know, I want to play my music in my room, but you ask me to turn it off and you tell me that you only listen to godly music. Why? Why is that? Do we just say, well, that's what my mom and dad do, so that's just what I do? Or can we tell them, hey, well, the Bible says we're supposed to listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Hey, what I'm saying, teenagers, is that we ought to know, we ought to be able to tell people, hey, this is very obvious. If you're out in the world, some people might notice that you never touch a girl, guys, or girls, you never touch a guy. And they might be, hey, why don't you ever hold hands? You don't have a girlfriend? What's up with that? Why don't you do stuff like that? And you can say, hey, because the Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And that's not my place right now. That's not till I get married. And do you have that knowledge of the Bible where you can give an answer? Do you have wherewith to answer? Hey, the Bible says this. Teenager, this should be our prayer. Every time, first of all, we need to make sure we're reading our Bible faithfully. But then two, if we do read our Bibles, this should be our prayer. Every day before we read our Bibles, we should pray something like this. The Bible says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Hey, teenager, is that your prayer? Do you stop before you read your Bible and say, oh God, Lord, would you please teach me? Show me something from the Bible that will help me be the right kind of Christian teenager, the right kind of child to my parent, the right kind of church member as a teenager. Lord, show me from your word. Teach me. Hey, we need to be mighty in observance of the Word of God and know the Word of God. But then also, number two, teenager, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We must be mighty in our observance. We need to know what the Bible says. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. All right, the Bible says this. Deuteronomy 6 verse 1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments." So we're talking about the words of God. That's, the words of God is the commandments, the statutes, judgments. That's all the Bible. So we're talking about the words of God, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. All right, so number two, we ought to be mighty in our obedience to God's word. Three times in those three verses, you hear the phrases, you hear that ye might do them. You read to keep all statutes in his commandments. You also read observe to do it. All three of those is saying, hey, teenager, I want you to obey what my word tells you to do. I want you to keep God's word and observe to do it. Be obedient to what God tells you to do. Hey, God never expected us to read the Bible attentively and grow in learning it without striving to obey it. Hey, we as Christians should not only be mighty and faithfully observing the words of God, but we also should be mighty in obeying what we observe from God's book. Hey, teenager, that's where you find true happiness. Teenager, true happiness doesn't come just because you get to go to Six Flags or because you get to go to camp or because you get to have fun and you have good circumstances in life. If so, you'll be miserable because school's going to come back and it's going to start again and different things will happen in life that we don't like. But the thing is, that's not where we find happiness. Hey, teenager, we don't find happiness in living in sin. We don't find happiness in rebelling against God's word. We don't find happiness in kissing a guy or kissing a girl or becoming impure outside of marriage. We don't find happiness in alcohol or drugs. We don't find happiness in going to the water parks or the movie theaters. We don't find happiness in sinful pleasures or maybe it's not sinful, but just activities in general. We don't find happiness in those things, teenager. The Bible says we find happiness in obeying the word of God. The Bible says, but he said, yea, rather blessed or so happy are they that hear the word of God and keep it. God says, hey, teenager, if you hear the Bible and you say, wow, the Bible says I should do this. And sometimes it's like, wow, I didn't really know that. And if you learn something from the Bible or you hear something again that you're not doing, at that very moment, you ought to decide in your heart, God, I'm going to obey and do what you want me to do. That's what I ought to do on a regular basis. If I ever get to the point where I stop making decisions and saying, God, help me to do what your word tells me to do, that's the moment I'm going to backslide and get out of God's will. I don't want that to happen for me. Teenager, I hope you don't want that for you. I hope you want to be faithful in obeying what God says to do. Hey, teenager, we're not supposed to read the Bible like we're watching a movie. We're not supposed to read it and say, wow, that was a cool story. I was reading the other day where some king, however the story went, they killed half the army, but then the other half, they went to a cliff and just threw them off. And just one by one, they're just throwing them off the cliff. And I'm thinking, man, that's kind of cool. It's a cool story to read, but we don't read the Bible for entertainment. We read the Bible like we're supposed to read an instruction manual. And hey, who's ever put together something? You had instructions. You had to follow the instructions to put together, right? I know sometimes people don't like to follow the instructions, but if you want it to look right and if you want it to be sturdy and not fall apart, then the best thing to do is follow the instructions, right? And if we listen, if we skip certain instructions, if we look at it and say, man, that step looks a little hard. There's a lot of pieces of that one. I think I'll just skip that one, go on to the next one. And we skip a step or a couple of steps because we just don't want to do it or we're in a rush. Then whatever we put together, it's not going to be right, and it might even wind up in destruction of whatever we built. Teenager, if you just only decide to obey what you like in the Word of God, but the things that are hard, the things that are a little more difficult to do, we decide to shove that in a corner and say, that's not for me, then the Bible says that not only will our lives not be right with God, just like whatever we built isn't built correctly, it might result in destruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Hey, there's a great reward when all steps of the Word of God are followed and doing our best, just like there's great reward when we follow every step in those instructions and we built whatever it is correctly. There's great reward when we follow the words of God. Hey, God is not impressed, teenager. He's not impressed with us knowing everything we can know about the Bible, but they're not obeying. And that's how the scribes and Pharisees were. They knew a lot of the Bible, but they didn't obey the Bible like they should have. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to done, and not to leave the other undone." Hey, teenager, what are we leaving undone from God's Word in our lives? What is it that we're not doing that we know that we ought to be doing? Hey, are we listening? I want to ask these questions a little slow. I want this to sink in. Think about this, teenager. Are we listening to godly music all the time? God says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Hey, we ought to be listening to godly music. Are we dressing modestly according to the Bible? Are you dressing the way God expects you as a Christian to dress? Or are you showing your nakedness in some form or fashion? Hey, are you talking kindly and honestly with others? Are we working hard and doing our best? Teenager, God expects us to do our best in what we do, and our schoolwork, and a side job, and our chores, whatever it may be. Hey, are we forgiving those who hurt us? Teenager, has someone hurt you in your life at some point? Some parent, some relative, or some friend? Has someone hurt you and you're holding on to that and you're not forgiving? Hey, that's disobedient to God's words. God says forgive. Hey, are we avoiding gossip? Or are we just trying to go around town to talk about anybody and everybody we can? Are we attending church faithfully? Are we praying? Are we behaving in a godly way? Are we obeying? Are you obeying your parents like we should? Are we honoring our parents like we should? Hey, are you having a good attitude? Are we setting no wicked things before our eyes on the TV, internet, and social media? Are we obeying basically the bottom line? Are we obeying the Word of God? What part of the Bible are we disobedient to right now? And whatever that is, we need to ask God to forgive us and help us to obey. Hey, if we want to obey, preacher talked about this a couple messages ago. If we want to obey, we must prepare in our hearts, teenager. You must decide ahead of time in your heart that, Lord, I'm going to obey what you tell me to do. The Bible says this, talking about Ezra. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Hey, teenager, camp's coming up. And just because you go to camp doesn't mean you're going to be changed. If you want to be changed when you go to camp, if you want to make some major decisions while you're at camp, then right now, while we're waiting for camp to come, you and I need to be praying and saying, Lord, prepare my heart. God, help me to be willing to obey whatever it is you tell me to do. God, if you reveal something in my life at camp that I ought to get rid of, Lord, I pray that I wouldn't just pray about it and make a decision about it and tell all my buddies, but then go home and do nothing about it. God, help me to obey and do what you tell me you want me to do. God says, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Hey, a Christian who is mighty in obedience has a heart in them that is willing to obey always. Doesn't mean it always happens, but that ought to be our heart that says, I want to obey God always. Hey, and the Bible also says if we work to obey Him, we show that we truly love Him. Teenager, if you really want to show God that you really love Him and not just saying it with our mouths, God says if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. That's how we can truly show God that we love Him, by living an obedient Christian life. Hey, the world has plenty of teenagers that are mighty in basketball, mighty in football, mighty in volleyball, mighty in video games, mighty in fashion, mighty in reading and singing. But the world needs more Christian teenagers that are mighty in observance of the Bible, mighty in obedience of the Bible. And then lastly, number three, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. This kind of goes along with what preacher preached on Wednesday night. And I was kind of excited to hear what he preached, to hear that the messages in some ways kind of go together. Hebrews chapter 4. His version is going to be a whole lot better, but at least they go together. So, Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 12. The Bible says this. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God says it's a quick and powerful sword that not physically will pierce us, but spiritually in our hearts will pierce us. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. So number three, while you're flipping over to Ephesians chapter 6, number one, we need to be mighty in observance of the Bible. Number two, we need to be mighty in obedience of the Bible. And then lastly, we need to be mighty in our offense with the Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 17. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A sword's primary purpose is for offense. It's to attack. God has given us His word to use offensively, teenager. To use God's word as a weapon is not just some pastor's job, some man of God's job. That's every Christian's job. Even a teenager's job, to use the word of God as a weapon. Because teenager, guess what? You're in just as much of a spiritual battle, if not maybe more, than any other Christian. Because Satan wants to destroy your life. And look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, teenagers, there's spiritual wickedness all over the place, on your phone, on your movies, on some books that you read. You may not even realize it, but Satan is sneaky, and he's powerful, and he's out there to destroy your life, and however he can do it. If he can do it through a friend, that's what he'll do. If he can do it through causing you to fall through some kind of movie, that's what he'll do. If he'll cause you to fall by having a rebellious spirit and attitude, that is what he'll do. Satan just wants to destroy your life. And because we're in a spiritual battle. Hey, teenager, if you had to go to war right now, if you were drafted in the army and we were going to war and you were about to fight in combat, you would not want to go without having some form of training and being familiar with the weapon that you're going to use. Hey, before any of us would ever go to battle, we would always make sure that we knew exactly how to use our weapon. We would be sure to have it fully loaded and have extra magazines on our person because we want to be ready to go. Hey, we would make sure that we knew exactly how to aim our weapon. And we would be double sure that is properly sighted in. Hey, we would want to make certain we are mighty with our weapon and can use it against the enemy effectively. None of us would go having some weapon that we don't even know how to use. We don't even I take the safety off. We would be very foolish to go into some battle not knowing how to use our weapon. But let me ask this question, teenager. Why do we enter the spiritual battle every day the exact opposite of how we would enter a physical battle? Why is it that we go throughout our day and we're in this battle 24/7, and when you go home and when you're at home, you're still in that spiritual battle and Satan's going to try to destroy you somehow or another? And you know what, teenager? We need to make sure that we're familiar with our weapon that God has given us to fight against Satan. Hey, the Bible tells us that Satan does not stand a chance against the weapon of the Bible if we use it as it is supposed to be used. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, you might say, well, the wrong friends I have at school, they're just too strong to resist. Well, use the Bible to defeat them. You know what? If you had the wrong crowd come to you and they say, hey, you know what? Hey, we saw this video and why don't you watch it with us, and we'll just kind of sneak over the corner. No one's going to know. And you can say, well, the Bible says, thou shalt not set I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I mean, if you start quoting scripture to them, I'll be like, dude, get away from me. And they'll get away from you very quick. If they start playing that rock music and you say, no, the Bible says that, listen to songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, they're either going to turn it off or get away from you pretty quick because they don't want to be around that. We can use that, the Bible as our weapon against, the people Satan may use. But teenager, Satan's not always going to use a person. He may just use attack in your mind. And you know what? We must use God's word, to fight against him. And God says we can overcome. Even the young men, the Bible says, the young teenagers can overcome Satan through God's word. It says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Why? And the word of God abideth in you. The reason they're strong is because the word of God is abiding in them. And ye have overcome the wicked one, the Bible says. Hey, teenager, you can overcome the wicked one. Hey, does the word of God abide in you, young man? Do you have verses memorized, young lady? Are you mighty with the offense of God's word? Can you use it offensively against Satan? If we want to fight against Satan and his temptations to give into some kind of sin, we have to use the Bible. That's exactly what Jesus did. Every time Satan came and tempted him three times, every time this is what Jesus said. He says, it is written. He said, it is written again. He said, for it is written. That's what his response was to Satan every time. And Satan left him and he had the victory. Hey, You could say, I'm not going to listen to that music because it is written this and this. I'm not going to drink that because it is written that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Hey, I'm not going to watch that because the Bible says I will set no wicked things before mine eye. Hey, I'm not going to gossip because it is written that we're not supposed to sow discord amongst the brethren. Hey, I'm not going to think that because it is written. I'm not going to lie because it is written. Hey, teenager, can you use the word of God in any form or fashion to attack Satan, or are you an easy target? We must have the word of God memorized and hidden in our hearts so we can use against Satan and his attacks. But as preacher was saying, not only should we attack Satan's temptations, as he said Wednesday night, we must use it to attack Satan by spreading the gospel to a lost and dying world. And that's what Apollos did. Look at it real quick. We're almost done. Acts chapter 18. Look at it real quickly with me. And over back in our text in Acts 18, that's what Apollos was doing. He was mighty in the scriptures and he was using it mightily to give the gospel. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 28, it says this. The Bible tells us, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Hey, teenager, are we mightily convincing as many as we can that Jesus is Christ? Hey, we can't do that unless we know what the Bible says. Hey, we can't do that if we're going to be ashamed of the Word of God. Someone who's mighty with their weapon is not ashamed to use their weapon. They're not timid to use their weapon. They're bold with their weapon. Hey, teenager, be bold to give a gospel tract out. Be bold to talk to your friends about the Lord. Be bold to talk to your co-workers about the Lord. Hey, don't shy away. God wants to use you to fight against Satan and his demons and to rescue sinners from a burning hell. Hey, and God can and will use you because it's God's word that does the work, not us. The Bible said it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hey, let me ask this. Where's the teenager that decides that more than being mighty in school, although there's nothing wrong, we ought to do our best with school, more than being mighty in sports, more than being mighty in our games, more than being mighty one day in a career, where's the teenager that's going to say, hey, I'm going to be mighty in the scriptures. Hey, you know what? America can be changed if more teenagers and Christians in general become serious enough to faithfully exercise themselves in the Bible. If we want to become mighty, we got to exercise ourselves in the Word of God and stay in the Bible and keep obeying the Bible and keep doing what the Bible says and keep using the Bible to attack Satan. And you know what? If we keep doing that, we'll just become stronger and stronger as a Christian. And you know what? Just imagine what our church would be like if every Christian in this auditorium decided to be mighty in the Scriptures and to work at knowing the Bible, work at obeying every word of God, and work at using the Bible as a weapon. If every Christian in here were to do that, this church would turn this town upside down. And just like the apostles turned the world upside down because there's people that were mighty in the words of God. Hey, teenager, let's be mighty in observance of the Bible. Let's be mighty in obedience of the Bible. And let's be mighty with the offense, in our offense with the Bible. And God will bless you for it.